First Corinthians chapter 1, verses beginning with verse 18. The word of God says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Also, will you go over to chapter 15 with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts today, as only you can. Thank you for the word of God and for your men through history that have served you, Lord, and have you used by the Holy Spirit to pin the word down for us, and you preserved it for us today. Be with this, your unworthy servant. May my heart and my lips speak what's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. The scripture that we just read reminded us of what the Bible said about the preaching of the cross. We live in a digital age. The technology that surrounds us enables us to experience advantages and opportunities in daily life. Smartphones offer more than just a portal for communication. They give us the option to explore information, track our fitness progress, budget our finances, get where we need to go, play games, listen to music, watch movies, and much more. Televisions introduce us to an entire world within the convenience of our own homes. Computers grant us the convenience and the convenience to create, write, produce, plan, and design and do any number of things. But take a moment and realize what our lives would be like if these convenient and beneficial pieces of technology were not powered on. While they still would contain within them everything necessary to provide us with what we need, they would be useless with no power. The countless hours, the millions of dollars, and sheer genius that had been poured into the creation and production of these technologies and devices would not be leveraged to their fullest potential. It would be a sheer waste. However, there's something much more powerful than technology today, which also has the potential to positively influence every aspect of your life, and yet it is frequently not activated. The power of the cross is over 2,000 years working in the lives of some, but by many is so untapped. If we do not know how to or fail to activate the power of the cross, thereby accessing all that is contained within and through the finished work of the cross of Christ, then all the benefits, blessings, and power remain dormant. The church today needs to activate the power of the cross in order to experience the power that we need to live. First of all, I'd like to ask you to notice the purpose of the cross. Very simply put, it's to provide salvation. If we leave out the cross, we are only left with an empty shell called religion. I remember the testimony of one of our older gentlemen in the church in Japan. His name was Brother Yamauchi. He got saved when he was 80-something years old, and he was in our church. And every time a visitor would come, especially a young person, with his testimony, he would share with them, among other things, he would say, "I have spent my whole life testing all of our religions, and nothing is better than Jesus." Focus on the significance of the cross. There's a common game that we watch and some people play. Think of the game of football. It's amazing how the football, as small as it is, can carry so much importance. We can take time to go to the field. We can choose teams. We can try to put everything in place. But if we don't have the football, we can't play. The people can be there. The field can be there. The plan can be there. The spectators can be there. The hot dogs and the Coke, all that can be there. The teams can be suited up, but if the main thing is not there, nothing else matters. In the game of football, the football determines everything. First downs are measured by where the placement is of the ball. Touchdowns are measured by when the ball passes through the goal line. Out of bounds is tied to an individual's control of the ball and its relationship to the feet of the person holding it. Fumbles are determined by who grabs the ball. Field goals, points are measured by whether the ball goes through the goal and goes to the post at all in the right place or not. All in all, men fight over it, rejoice over it, and strive to possess it. So simply put, if a football is missing, then there is no football. Without the football, everything else that goes on in the stadium is just a waste of time, right? In a football game, the football is the main thing. In Christianity, what Jesus did on the cross is the main thing, right? This is so important for us to remember. What Jesus satisfied and what Jesus gained at the cross and the resurrection is the main thing. Without it, there is no power, no freedom, no forgiveness, no authority, no strength, no victory, nothing at all. The work of the cross is the main thing for the church today. There are times of the year, like Easter, when people in general may focus on the cross. We remember Christ's death and resurrection and where he paid the price and gives victory over sins. We meditate and thank God how the reality of the cross enables those who believe and trust in Jesus to spend eternity in heaven. Many people, however, when Easter passes, go back to doing their own thing, trying to live their lives without the power of the cross as a central focus in their life. It isn't enough to gather together at the right place each Sunday, this building that we call the church, or we assemble as the church because you and I are the church. It isn't enough to gather with the right people in our lives, fellow believers. That's very important. It isn't enough that there's a program and a plan, or that there are books and seminars and worship time on Sundays and personal devotion time throughout the week. All that can be good, of course, and all that is critical, but all of it is nothing unless we keep the power of the cross as the main thing. If we leave out the power of the cross, we are only left with an empty shell. So we notice the cross, and that if Jesus did not pay for our sins, we would have no salvation. Let's see the purpose of the cross, to bring the salvation, and that we must keep the cross as the main focus in our lives. This salvation through Jesus brings power. Without the power of the cross, we're left with an empty set of rules, no power. rules, laws, requirements, judgments, and anything else that tries to legislate spirituality without the true application of the cross leads us to be without power, no intimate grace, and no ability to lead or live spiritual victorious lives. Without living in the power of the cross, believers find themselves in perpetual defeat. They may never feel like they measure up, never fully overcome their struggles, never rising above their circumstances. Sadly, many believers fail to fulfill their destiny and achieve the completeness of their own life because they're operating without the power and the deliverance of the cross. A person like this is trying to live the Christian life without the main thing, which makes about as much sense as trying to play a football game without a football. Next, notice the power and preeminence of the cross. Not the emblem of power, it's the Christ, the person of the cross. Not really complaining about the pictures and emblems and replicas and the jewelry and the other things. Do we run the risk of displaying items about the cross, but not proclaiming the message of the cross? I visited the Philippines once while we were in Japan, and I was surprised at what goes on in some of the rituals there of their faith. I saw men tied to literal crosses that they were trying to emanate the cross of Christ, and they were tied and dragging their crosses through. They were actually flogged and they were bleeding. And I was thinking, wow, what a way. I wondered if they knew the Christ of the cross. The problem we face in our modern contemporary Christian culture is that we've forgotten the purpose, salvation, and the power and the preeminence of the cross. We view it as an icon, reflecting something that happened thousands of years ago, but has little relevance to us today. Far too many Christians regard the cross as only a historical event that will take them to heaven one day, rather than a current applicable event, wielding everything they need to bring heavenly applications to life here, now on earth, and bring others to Jesus. Paul wrote to his audience at Galatia. Paul urged them over and over again to remember Christ and the cross. When Paul concluded his letter to the Galatians and was highlighting with great emphasis, Paul was saying, I don't want you to miss this part. Everything I've said up to now is important, but this part is the best. Don't ever forget. Read closely. Know that it's coming directly from me. Paul wrote in large letters with his own hand in order to tell his audience that he was the one writing the truth. He wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been saved a long time, yet he was still saying, I'm only going to brag on the cross. He did not let the historical reality get lost in his mind and in his teaching and thoughts and his function or calling. Paul's main point of reference was on the cross. He represents and sets an example to us that should make a central point for us to serve our Christian lives. Galatians 2:20 is a familiar verse. Maybe some of you have memorized it before. But it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To Paul, the cross wasn't a decoration or an icon. The cross was the center of his very existence. The cross was the air of his very breath, the beat of his heart, and the very substance of his significance. Witnessing in other countries in different ways, there's different aspects of the culture that we have to remember, but there is not a change in the message. When we went to Japan, we were challenged as to how to begin a witness to people. First, of course, we had to learn to speak some of their language. And even when I started with was able to witness and started witnessing, same old thing. People were closing the door. Oh, I don't speak of the English. Slam. And I was speaking Japanese. I thought I wasn't. They're really in different cultures, different places, and also with the personal aspect of it. It's kind of hard for somebody to give us an instructional class on how to witness. We can get classes on what we should say when we witness, but inside of us, there's a unique way that we need to learn how to witness to other people. Maybe you tell your story. Maybe you've memorized a few verses or however. But before missionaries go to a field, there's no real one training guide, such as whenever you go to Japan, this is what you need to do. Because you have to follow the Holy Spirit working in your heart and life. And know the Bible, know some verses, know how to follow scriptures in the Bible. But we also, number one, you need to know what the Lord has done for you personally. Other countries have plenty of religion. We're not going to share religion to other countries. Japan has Shintoism and Buddhism. By the way, when I was first witnessing and the doors would close, or they would say, number two comment would be, oh, I'm Shintoist. And then they close the door. So the Lord reminded me, well, why don't you ask them about it? So I would, I'd say, oh, you're Shintoist. Tell me about it. And then they would start going, I don't know how to say it, or something like that, because they really didn't believe what their religion taught them or the Buddhism. So a missionary for America's goal is to not to compare religious teachings or to share American culture. It's interesting for me to even observe in Quebec how the language affects here, and then moving and manipulating through the country and everything when the language of, when French is everywhere. But it's also interesting to see the noticeable parts of the culture that are visible, the way people dress, the kind of things that they like and enjoy, that comes with a lot of people watching, right? But I enjoy those things. When missionaries go to the other places in the world, they should be going and are going to share, quite simply, the message of the cross and the victory that comes with knowing Christ. We're not going there to share religions. We're not going there to just understand or learn about the culture, but we're going to share a very important message that Paul keeps talking about over and over again. So another way of looking at it, life lessons and morals will differ wherever you go in this world. But the greatest difference of all that is that we as Christians, when we go to the world with the gospel, with the good news that Christ died for the sins of each person of mankind, they too can be saved when they ask the Lord to forgive them of their sins and they accept Christ as their Savior. Do you realize that all the other religions of the world, their leaders are dead? But we serve a risen Savior, right? It's such a blessing to know, because the gospel was sent to Japan, that there's some people there, even today, among six churches where the seed was planted many years ago, that are telling about the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what it's like to hear the testimonies and hearts of people around the world and hear them sing praises to God? 2018, Mary and I went back to visit the churches. We had not been there for about 30 years. And when we went back, we saw the seeds that had grown of the young people who were now adults and had children, and some of them had grandchildren. And we got introduced to them and we heard their personal testimonies, and we got to share in their lives just for a brief time. And it was such a blessing to see God building up a work there, not because of me, but because the seed was sown. It's that same message. The old rugged cross is a testimony. Everybody knows the words, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. So we're talking about the cross as the source of power for us to overcome. Paul mentioned it as a power to overcome his weaknesses. It was Paul's identity and it was his hope. The reason Paul spent so much effort on the cross in his letter to the church at Galatia was because they had become confused about what true spirituality and power meant. The Galatian believers, at least some of them, had begun to look at the flesh, something easy for many of us to fall into, instead of thinking about the power of Christ. Paul gives us insight into their lives in the book of Galatians. Some of the church members of Galatia were no longer looking to the power on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Religion had gotten in the way of the cross. And that day, with many circumcision issues had and circumcision had become the religious symbol of commitment and involvement. In fact, there was a particular group of people who would follow Paul around wherever he went. Whenever Paul started a church, these people would try to interfere with the belief structure of that church. This group of people were called and known as the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were trying to subvert the message of the cross. They had religion. They just did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how sincere one may be, whenever religious beliefs and activities trump a relationship, the power of Jesus Christ is no longer experienced in that professing person's life. One of the greatest dangers in our churches today is for religion to replace an intimate relationship with the Savior. If we go to church because it's the religious thing to do, rather than because we are motivated to spend time worshiping God, learning about Him, and experiencing Him, then this is called religion. Religion is anything that you do for God that does not come from a heart connected to God. It's not that there aren't some people doing a lot of excellent things to help others as far as mankind is concerned. It's not attendance itself, helping the hurting or saying certain spiritual words and ceremonial words that God sees. It's what we have done with Jesus. Problem is that many have totally overlooked the importance of the cross that we're preaching about. They miss Jesus Christ as living Savior. This is the reason why people are not experiencing victory and power and hope in their lives. Paul was actually emphasizing that external observances, the rules of religion, can get in the way of relationship with God. God doesn't want us serving him only because we're supposed to, and it's a nice thing to do, but because we're motivated from love to do so. He wants us to serve from a motivation of love. The scripture says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." By the way, dead people do nothing on their own, do they? In order to live for Christ, there's crucifixion, and there's needs to have been placed in Christ, where that scripture says we are crucified with Christ. If you're crucified, then you're dead. Paul said when he was crucified with Christ, he was saying that he was no longer alive to this world system that tries to leave God out. Paul refused to embrace a worldly mentality. Paul was crucified to the strategies and the rules that are set up to try and make humanity acceptable to God. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but the world doesn't mind religion. They'll embrace religion. It dominates many systems of society around the world. However, what much of the world will not tolerate is the cross of Jesus. The key to the cross is the one who hung there for the sins of the world as a sinless sacrifice. Luke 14:27 says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." We have the wrong idea about carrying a cross in life. It is not, for example, dealing with your in-laws. That's not a cross in itself. To carry a cross means to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." For you as a believer, victory in your daily life hinges on your attachment to Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross on your behalf. Our victory rests on Christ's work, not our own work. It's tied to the new creation inside you, not to the flesh. So, in summary, we considered the purpose of the cross, salvation, the preeminence of the cross, there's no other way, the power of the cross, it's to all, ever inclusive to those who will take him as personal Lord and Savior, and never forget the person of the cross. It's Jesus only. Jesus only. So let us apply to our lives. Virtually everything, as far as electricity is concerned, has to have a power source. Your appliances, your lights, your heat, your air conditioning, computers, TV, many, many things in your home work because they're receiving power, electricity. If you're not connected to a source, there is no power. It's not that you no longer have your possessions. You have all the possessions, they're just not connected. You purchase them to use. You still own them, but without the power, they're useless. Without electricity or battery power, everything in your home would become unusable. Without a football, every game consisting of two teams with 11 men gathered on fields all over our world would be unplayable. Electricity is essential to empowering that which was made to run on it. A football is essential to the game that was designed around it. The cross of Christ and its finished work is essential to both empowering and enabling you to live abundantly and a victorious life defined by both peace and mercy. Never let religion get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Rather, take that connected icon. Like I said, that in itself is not a bad thing. But wear the truth of the cross of Christ in your heart and walk proudly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We who have taken Christ as personal Lord and Savior have been crucified with Christ. And as a result, we are a new creation, ready and should be willing to serve Him. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. We, Father, we ask you as we sing this song that if someone needs to make a connection, talk with pastor, kneel before you, or even in their very place has a need to pray about some need in their life, we pray that you'll guide and direct. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.